Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson concerns Genesis chapter 4 and 5. This concerns the people named Cain and Abel, and basically the sons of Adam, the sons of mankind. Now, the text in these two chapters permits us to come up with a time chart that we can figure the number of years that is taking place here, such as if you go by the age of the man when his son is born, we can come up with a general idea of how much time is taking place here in these chapters. Adam was 130 years old when his son was born. Seth was 105 when his son was born. Enos was 90. Canaan was 70. Mahalalel was 65. Jared 162. Enoch 65. Methuselah 187. Lamech 182. Noah was 500. Shem 100. If you add up all these years, it comes up to 1,656 years that is taking place in these several chapters here. Now, in these early chapters of Genesis, you'll notice that there are several institutions begun or started here. The one is marriage. In consequence of marriage would be family. This is another institution ordained of God. And later, as we read on, we will have civil government. Now, each one of these institutions are given for the benefit of man, and each one of these institutions, marriage, family, human government, is given by God to inhibit sin. Now, Adam dies as a righteous man. Now, we say that because Adam accepted the covering given to him by God in Genesis chapter 3. There was a animal slain and a covering given. Now, we also say that there's evidence that Adam dies righteously as a righteous man by the testimony of Seth. It says, righteous Seth is made in the likeness of his father, in his likeness or in his image. Chapter 5, verse 3. Only the righteous have lengths of life given in these chapters. The unrighteous line are born, they live, they have activities, but there's no marker saying, there's no tombstone marker like given in Scripture as to when and where or why they died or how they died. Adam is listed in the righteous line given in chapter 5 of Genesis, as well as the righteous line of Christ in Luke 3:38. Now, Cain's family line has no length of life given and are considered unrighteous and lost by the testimony of the New Testament. In Jude 11, we find the way of Cain. That would be the way of sinners, the wrong path. Now, the estimated world population at the time of the flood was somewhat over 7 billion. And our present-day population is about 6.98 billion and growing. So the world population today is approaching that of the size of the population during Noah's time. Now, according to Genesis 2, 5, and 6, the earth had no rain, but was watered by a mist. Now, this thick mist protected, the idea is that presently that this thick mist protected the plant and animal life and extended lifespans. Now, this idea is called the canopy theory. The main theory, the main weakness of this theory is God gave the stars for signs and seasons to Adam and his children in Genesis 1:14. If God gave the stars for signs and seasons, it would be very difficult to use the stars for signs and seasons if there is a thick canopy covering the sky. Now, as we go through the genealogies, we will notice that there are fewer family names with E-L in the name, L. L is the word for God. So God is being left out of family names, and it shows as we progress through the genealogies that it shows a drift away from God. Let's look at a few highlights of Genesis 4 and 5. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Adam intimately knew Eve. When she bore her first son, in verse 1 here, it says And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bore, verse 2 here, and again she bore his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, when Eve first bore her son, conception is only mentioned once. Yet there are two sons born, which leads to the thought that these sons were twins. Now, also here we, looking at this text, her proclamation seems to point to the hoped fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, the Proto-Evangelion. I have gotten a man from the Lord is an expression of joy, and it seems to show, as has been stated before by other people, that this was the first man born, hinting that possibly nothing but women had been born previously. It is difficult to argue from a standpoint of silence, but this idea would answer several questions about who these brothers and men later are marrying. In verse 2, again, she bore his brother Abel. Eve bore Cain's brother Abel. And the Hebrew word for Abel means empty. And it is also translated vanity in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, why, that doesn't sound very complimentary, but why, and why would anybody name their son empty? Well, the name may be one given that shows the emptiness that was left behind whenever, afterwards, after the fact of his murder, the family felt empty. There was emptiness in their hearts. There was an empty place. Now these brothers, possibly twins, were taught useful skills by their father. If you notice in this verse, one was a farmer and another, the other was a shepherd. Verse 3, in the process of time, or at the end of days, they were to have their usual meeting with God. According to Judges 11:4, the end of days, or process of time, referred to the end of the year or end of harvest. Now that may not necessarily mean that here. It could just simply mean end of the week, end of the month, end of the season. Anyways, at the appropriate time, they were to have their meeting with God. And this probably occurred at the gate of the Garden of Eden. If you remember in the previous chapter, in Genesis 3, God set cherubim at the gate of the garden. Psalm 99:1 says that God dwells between the cherubim. So this is probably where they came and met with the Lord. Now, according to Numbers 14:29, the age of accountability, or the legal age of accountability, is age 20 and up. There's no place in Scripture that negates this. So these young men are quite possibly doing this for the very first time, being that it's not mentioned, or it might be just when they've come before with a meeting with the Lord, but here develops a problem. Now the difference in the acceptability of the offering between these two young men is in, one, what was being offered. The only acceptable offering was the animal sacrifice, as in Genesis 3:21, and reiterated pretty much in Hebrews 9:22, which simply states that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And the second difference, besides what was offered, the second difference was the attitude of the heart. According to Hebrews 11:4, Abel offered in faith a more perfect offering. Cain's offering was an offering of works, what he did, what he had done. In comparison, Cain only offered the Lord pocket change. In verse 7, the word rule is fulfilled in the Canaanite civilization. Now, this civilization is similar to modern America in that it was high-tech, yet it was high crime also. This verse here, let me read it to you. It says, if thou doest well, and this is the Lord dealing with a sinner. And the offering was unacceptable. And the Lord is now dealing with this. It says, if thou doest well, if thou being Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? So the Lord wants Cain to do the right thing. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So God gives Cain direction as to the problem. If you're not going to do well, then look at your heart. There is sin lying at the door of your heart. And if you postpone looking, then sin will lie at death's door. Any sin lying at death's door will go on to the day of judgment. And this last part of the verse, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. This is quite often misunderstood, I believe, to mean that Cain was to have control over his own desires and control over himself. But that doesn't appear to be correct in a correct interpretation. The way it looks like it's saying is, Cain was the firstborn and pretty much was the senior between the two boys. And it says, unto thee, if you do right, your brother will look up to you. Unto thee shall be his desire. And if you do right, you shall have rule over Abel. So Abel was to look up to him because he was a good example. If you do right, you will have say over him. That seems to be the meaning of that verse. Now Cain, you must also consider the fact that Cain would have had to have gone to his brother, his younger brother, for his sheep, for the sacrifice. Now this might have been something hard for him to do. He would have had to have quite possibly humbled himself to do this in his own heart and mind, and he would have had to have cooperated. And apparently he wasn't willing to do this. Now Abel's offering was consumed, Cain's offering was ignored. In verses 6 and 7, God reasons with the sinner. And it is God who seeks the lost. And if you notice, Cain is rejecting and actually not seeking. Verse 8, we see after the God's meeting with Cain, we see Abel lured out into the field. This would be Cain's stronghold. Abel was lured out into a field and slain. This would be a premeditated murder. Man's first son is the first murderer. In verses 9 through 15, God now has to deal graciously God deals and with the sinner, and he deals graciously. God puts a mark of recognition on him out of grace. God is pretty much rejected here by Cain. In verses 16 and 17, Cain cannot bear the punishment in his own mind. That he deserves. Cain leaves the presence of God in verses 16 and 17, and he leaves God's presence never to return, and he goes into the land of Nod. The word Nod simply means wanderings. So he was a vagabond. He wandered across the face of the earth. Next question that's presented quite often is, where did Cain get his wife for the civilization that is mentioned here in this chapter? Cain got his wife from Adam's other children. In chapter 5, verse 4, it does mention daughters, sons and daughters being born. Now, chapter 5 also shows a mix of the righteous family names of Seth with Cain's family. What we have is the unequally yoked together of the righteous with the unrighteous. And what that produces is huge problems. Discipline problems, spiritual problems, family problems, being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. The mix of the righteous family names of Seth with Cain's family produced in chapter 6, verse 4, crime monsters. These were men of renown. As in Numbers 16, verse 2, these were powerful, important, worldly people. Numbers 16, 2 is talking about the rebellion of Korah. And there were 250 princes or men of renown involved in that rebellion. So we see, as we drift further and further away from the gracious Creator, men get worse and worse and produce problem children because of their rebellion. This would be the conclusion of this lesson. Next lesson will be about Noah and the flood. In Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and on. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this lesson. We thank Thee for Your word. We also ask that You'll cause it to fall on good ground. May we produce fruit for Thee. Help us, Lord, to endeavor to do our best and learn of the Scriptures. And we ask now that You'll be with us and cause us to do Your will, for it is in Your name we pray. Amen.